It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Hello there. Welcome to the program. No, we're not going to talk about razor blades. You know, I tell you what, Kevin Gettings, who is the general manager and morning show personality on WROD.
He is much more than radio personality.
He is very much a radio personality. He's all that and more. Kevin sent me an email about where to get razor blades for $1 a month. And he thought I would talk about it on the show.
I didn't understand that email. Did you?
Yeah. Well, I got it, and I'm like, "What? So you want me to talk about razor blades? I'm not talking about razor blades on this program, or where you can get them for $1 a month." Oops, I just did that. All right. Well, we'll get to. Thank you, Kevin. I don't know what to do with it, but thank you. We're not going to talk about razor blades because you know what? You can find razor blades or whatever you. Or you know what? Grow a beard. Don't have to worry about razor blades that way.
Save $1 a month.
But you know, as that was right. But you know what? If you're going to put something on your face that you are cutting next to your skin, don't go cheap. Go cheap on socks or something or underwear, something somebody doesn't see. Not your face that you're shaving. Well, anyway, speaking of all things personal and close to you,
speaking
Scott,
of a face made for radio,
the fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
You're a straight blade, right?
No, I'm electric, but I'm thinking of shifting because the quality of the cut seems to be diminishing.
You're going to go from the electric to the standard razor like most guys do, or all the way to the straight blade?
No, just the standard cartridge razor.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'm leaning that way. I'll keep you posted.
You're leaning. We'll update on forthcoming shows about Scott's shaving habits. Well, Scott, I know you've got some stuff to report on the market, and then we got to talk about this Wall Street Journal article that's got you all upset.
Yeah, Monday's market was really remarkably boring. The S&P was flat, closed at 1371. Dow up 37 points, inching up back to 13,000 at 12,959. NASDAQ shed 5 points at 29.83. Oil down $1, gold down $11, back to 1700. Really not a whole lot going on in the market at all on Monday. Some headlines from Disney. You know, they launched a movie over the weekend called John Carter.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Well, it looked weird. I kept looking at it when they do the stuff in the paper. I'm like, do they have the wrong picture in there?
I think that's part of the problem.
Didn't make sense. It's supposed to be something about the guy goes to Mars.
It's supposed to be pre-Star Wars and the guy goes to Mars. That's all I know about it. Because
but he doesn't look like he's wearing any clothes.
You know how I am with the pop culture. All I know is that they spent $250 million on the film and it brought in $30 million for the debut. That's a huge,
how
huge
much did they
miss.
Spend?
They spent $250 million.
Holy moly, you can get a person to Mars for $250 million.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge miss. But the press on this particular film has been so bad that everybody expected it to be a real egg, and it was. So that was really about it for corporate headlines. Out of China, we had some news for merger and acquisition activity. Todu, a company called Todu, soared on news that it was going to be acquired by Youku. These are basically internet streaming video companies.
And usually when, just for our listeners, Scott, when we hear about a company being acquired, usually their stock jumps up.
Yes.
And the acquirer, the company buying the other company, a lot of times their stock will go down because of the expected debt burden and integration issues.
Yeah, this was the exact opposite. The Youku stock shot up pretty strong. It's a strictly cash deal, so it's easy finance. Just swap it out. And I think the thought is that there is so much market to be had in China.
So the acquiring company's stock did well.
Yeah, it did really well.
So we could use another fancy word. The shareholders or people buying the stocks thought that the acquisition would be accretive.
Immediately accretive, yeah, sure was.
That means they're going to make more money with the acquisition.
Yep, and it really, in economic news, almost nothing. The three-year note auction from our Treasury was kind of a fizzle out. The U.S. Treasury announced its budget for February.
Yeah, this is real good. Get this,
$230 billion deficit.
We had to borrow for the month of February $230 billion more than we took in.
Yeah, that's not good financial planning.
How do we get the United States to join up to this austerity program?
I don't know. We're gonna have to come up with some type of program. And I think austerity, the first targets for austerity will be Social Security at some point, and they're going to have to look at Medicare. And I mean, there's places to look, but
what we got here is failure to communicate.
We got failure to do a lot of stuff.
Some men you just can't reach.
That's a fact.
So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it.
All right.
I don't like this any more than you do. Good quote from Cool Hand Luke, one of my favorite movies.
Other than that, volume in the market is horrific. There is no volume in the market.
Well, is that good or bad? Just don't know it is bad.
Why? I think it's bad because it doesn't show, you know, we've been on a nice rally here, but there isn't a whole lot of...
There's no enthusiasm.
No enthusiasm behind it. It also shows me that there still is not much participation from the retail sector, which we really need the retail sector to come back into the market to sort of give us another push of buying pressure.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, I have an explanation for part of that, Scott. We're going to put Scott on the couch, and we're going to do some analysis and give you some psychological...
It's going to be an extended show today, I see.
Please block out your schedule for the rest of the day, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Well, we will break it down for you. And to do that, actually, I told Scott we'd put him on the couch, do a little psychological analysis. Is it a good time to do it, Scott?
Sure.
All right. Let me tell you what we got. Associated Press. What's that?
Good as any.
Good as any. Associated Press had a great article. There was this, talked about why people are avoiding stock purchases, why you're not seeing that volume maybe from the retail investor. And they had this long article, but what really struck me was they had a psychiatrist from University of Texas, Richard Peterson, who said, hey, I can tell you what's going on, okay? A lot of emotional stuff is going on or keeping people out of the stock market. Where is the numbers? It was amazing. I got this. Everyday investors have refused to jump in. They pulled $19 billion from stock funds in December and another $2 billion in January. And that's according to the Investment Company Institute. But what's going on psychologically, Peterson said, is that the memory of 2008, which again, you think we've got that well in our rearview mirror, but it was only a little over 3 years ago. And when the industrial average swung by hundreds of points a day, and when we saw the stock market go all the way down to 6,500 points on March 6th, is that the date? Yep. That people are still stung by that, even though the market's come up 20% since October.
Yeah, it's interesting that the human mind remembers the worst of it, but not the best of it.
Because the bad stuff hurts you more.
Yeah.
It would be like, I'll try to use they use the analogy of like survivors of an earthquake or something, but it would be like the day that somebody came up and handed you $10,000 versus the day somebody came up and robbed you of the $10,000. Yeah. You know, the taking away is much more devastating. And what it's like really is like an old wound that's easily aggravated.
Yeah.
The trick knee, if you will. And people just remember that. And every little thing that people hear about financial crisis, debt problems in Europe, which we can talk about some more. I'm sure our listeners are dying to hear about what's going on in Europe. Anytime they hear any of this, it pushes that button that people are like, golly, is it ever going to get better? Even though it is better.
Yeah, it already has been better. We counsel clients about this all the time. You can't make emotional decisions when it comes to your portfolio. And we see it. I mean, I remember talking to clients on March 6th of 2009, the absolute bottom. And that was the day they wanted to sell everything, which is the exact wrong thing to do.
Yeah, I'm so thankful that 99 out of 100 people that I worked with at that time listened to my advice and did not jump ship. And we had a plan in place and we followed the plan. Because it's never all the projections that the financial industry has given people, especially back then, you remember, Scott, that, you know, it was very common for brokers and advisors to talk about, well, you know, the stock market's averaged 12% over the last 15 years. And so we can plan on that. There's going to be some years that'll be better than others. Well, boy, howdy. I mean, you know, you see a 37% loss in 1 year. People couldn't get their mind around it.
Yeah, and the other side of the emotional equation, if you will, is greed. You know, and making decisions based on greed is every bit as bad as making decisions based on fear. I remember in 1999, clients calling and say, buy this stock for me. And you say, well, what does that company do? I don't know. I don't care. Just buy it. Well, that's not sound investment.
No, and I remember, and you mentioned the NASDAQ, getting close to a psychological number of 3,000.
Yeah.
I remember distinctly back when the stock market was on a tear in the early 2000, late 1990s going into 2000, people were actually thinking, hey, you know, the Dow went to 10 and NASDAQ can go to 10. And it went to 5, right? And NASDAQ got to 5?
Yeah, it got north of 5, but boy, when it came back fast.
Well, it's a dangerous thing. And you said it very well, Scott, which is why people hire folks like us to manage their money. Because you're too close to it.
Yeah.
You're too close to that decision. And it's like a lot of other decisions in life. You've got to be careful to not be too close to that decision. You got to make the decisions. But if it's something that's emotional, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
What do you make of this Wall Street Journal article?
Well, the article you're referring to basically says the headline of it is why stocks are riskier than you think. And that's something that you and I have talked about a number of times. There's no such thing as a conservative stock portfolio. But this particular article makes some really horrendous points to it.
Well, I think the thing that stands out to me is it pretty much, you know, I look at the article and I thought it was something we could talk about is what can we, you know, we don't have to bore people with the details of all the article, but what are some of the things that you saw that you think maybe people are misunderstand about how stocks are managed or selected? Let's talk about that for a minute and we'll take our break a little late, Lisa.
Well, one of the things that's inherent in this article is that if you don't understand the risk of stocks, to me that signifies an inexperienced or an unsophisticated
investor. That doesn't mean you can't invest. It just means you better not be doing it on your own.
Right. So then they go on to say that the solution to your lack of knowledge of risk in stocks is to do a zero-cost collar through options. And I thought, man, this is so misguided to tell people that they don't understand the risk of stocks and they can solve that problem by trading in options.
Why wouldn't it be a lot simpler just to say, okay, instead of an article that, I mean, this is a pretty big write-up the Wall Street Journal did. Instead of having this on and on and on, I think you called it a book report or what was it called?
It reminded me of a high school report.
High school project. Really instead of that, why not simply tell people, which is what I say almost every day, find a good advisor, somebody with some credentials and education and experience. That'd be a good start. And let them do this for you. Why do they make it so hard, Scott?
Here's how misguided that I feel this article is. It actually says, despite the assurances of the financial industry, stocks are always a risky investment, which is actually the exact opposite of what we clients do. We have to tell clients that they're exposed to more risk than they think. 10 times to every one time we have to say, you don't understand the risk. You're actually taking on less risk than you think.
Yeah, and along that same line, I have to tell 9 out of 10 people you're taking on more risks than you should be.
Yeah.
And more than you realize than telling somebody, you know what, you're not taking any risk and you need to take more.
Yeah, so it's a very, very poorly decided brush that they paint the financial industry with, because it's just not the conversation we have. And then they go on to say, well, you should put all your money in tips, even though, and it says in there, even though the return on tips is less than inflation.
So why would you do that?
I wouldn't.
Okay. I mean, there's lots of other choices we could do, and there's lots of other ways to manage it.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Well, so the lesson, ladies and gentlemen, is be careful what you read, be careful, and well-regarded publications can be, well, in our view, a beat off. And, you know, the bottom line when it comes to your money, if you've got money and you want to have it do something, find an advisor you trust and let them manage it for you.
I was surprised to see that this was a Wall Street Journal article and not a National Enquirer article.
Wow.
I mean, really, to me, it's that bad.
Where's that disclosure? Does that disclaimer say, you know, management is not responsible for comments of guests? No, I think that, you know, again, free speech, and thank God for it. You know, you've got to be careful what you read and evaluate it. And, well, there you go. And reporters are not financial people. Let me just put it that way. All right. Well, and we are financial people, not necessarily radio people. So we're a little behind on our break, but Lisa's going to make up for that. And we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, we're back. And one more comment. Always follow the money on anything you read. Who are the advertisers of the publication? And you will have a pretty good idea of where they're going to be oriented or who they are friendly with, because you won't see sometimes something mentioned that should be there. Scott, before I go any further, I got to talk about this. I got a surprise for you. I don't know if you caught this this was kind of down in the bottom. I got it off of Business and Financial, Reuters News. Morgan Stanley, banker pleads not guilty in cab driver assault.
I have been keeping up with that story.
You have? Do you know what's the latest on this?
The latest I heard was that he was under arrest, Morgan Stanley, had been placed on leave. That was the last I heard.
Well, if you didn't hear this, see this, ladies and gentlemen, a Morgan Stanley banker, he's pretty high up too.
He's very high up.
He's probably on leave.
He's on leave.
He's on leave. He was co-head of the North American Fixed Income Capital Markets, which basically means he runs their bond division.
Bond desk. That's a big shot.
That's a big shot. All right. Well, this big shot basically hired a cab driver to drive him home.
To Darien, Connecticut.
For what, a 45-mile drive?
Yeah. Darien is, I mean, that's where the hedge fund made. Darien and Greenwich, that's the center of it.
Okay. And they're just loaded up there.
Yeah.
Okay. So he gets this drive. This Morgan Stanley banker gets a ride home, and he gets there, and then he gets in a big fight with the cabbie.
He's been at a party. So let's say that.
Okay. So he's been at a party where there are adult beverages served?
I presume. He said he had a couple of beers.
Okay. Well, it's a long ride. And so then they get in a fight, and the next thing you know, the cabbie says he's going to – they fight over the money when he gets there. You know, well, he said we had an agreement, and anyway.
Yeah, this is the point of contention.
Yeah, the big point of contention. Anyway, but what's part of the deal here is he stabbed the guy. He stabbed the cabbie through the little glass with his knife or something, and the guy had to get stitches in his hand.
Why this guy's carrying a knife, I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't know what kind of party it was. Maybe it was a knife-throwing party or something.
I don't know. But yeah, he stabbed the guy. Apparently, there were a number of racially insensitive names tossed about. And then the Morgan Stanley executive took off, went running into the woods. And the cabbie called 911. He said, hey, this guy just stabbed me.
Nice.
And he ran off into the woods. So they went and picked him up. And now it's generally...
It's a circus
known.
And we're talking about it. All right. Well, I wanted to make sure you hadn't missed that. And of course, our listeners know. So, you know, I don't know. Getting your money managed maybe is a, you know, we all, financial people always worry about, you know, especially with what had happened in 2000 and 2008 with people losing money. You know, financial people worry about it being a dangerous profession to be in the financial business because of people maybe freaking out.
Yeah.
Maybe it's dangerous to be a client too. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember when we had security guards at Schwab offices around the clock.
Well, they had, you know, back with the 2000 through 2002 period, there were people that literally went in and killed their advisors,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't happen a lot, but it did happen. And So that's difficult.
Well, hopefully no more of those types of headlines.
I hope not. Well, we'll come back. I'm going to take a quick break, Lisa. And when we come back, I want to talk about a little bit more about the psychology of what's been going on with the markets and then talk about what people need to be doing going forward. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. And Scott, you've got an update for me on the NASDAQ. You know, again, back to the psychology. Is it a big deal that we're going back, about to go back over 3,000 for the NASDAQ?
I don't know. The press makes a lot out of these benchmark numbers, and to me, they don't mean much of anything. But there's starting to be some buzz that the NASDAQ is about to pass 3,000 again, which it hasn't done, you know, for quite some time. The all-time high on March 10, 2000, was 5,048, almost exactly 12 years ago. And then by December, it was back to 3,000. So that's a pretty sharp fall. But we're starting to get back up towards 3,000. It is interesting to me that the NASDAQ is basically the home of tech stocks, generally speaking.
This is the stock index that basically where a lot of the technology stocks are traded.
Yeah, exactly. But the NASDAQ is so much different now than it was in 2000 that they really, the indices don't really represent each other at all anymore. The current NASDAQ trades at about 23 times the previous year's earnings, the PE ratio, if you will, of 23. That's a little higher than you would get for, you know, your general S&P type of company, your pharmaceuticals, et cetera.
15 to 18
yeah,
range.
Yeah, somewhere in there. It's a little higher, but technology companies are supposed to grow, and they're certainly in line. In 1999, the PE ratio on the NASDAQ was 78 times.
So there was a tremendous amount of price build up because of all of the expectations at the time for earnings to be so much higher in the future.
Yeah, and it's even interesting that we're talking about price to earnings ratio as a measurement of the NASDAQ, because if you remember, if we can go all the way back to 1999, remember we used to measure company valuations by clicks and eyeballs, you know, how many eyeballs were on a website, and we don't talk about eyeballs and clicks anymore. We talk about earnings, and we talk about
balance sheets.
Yeah, balance sheets. Where are they getting capital? And one of the other interesting things about the NASDAQ right now is that most of them actually get their capital in the bond market rather than doing all these crazy IPOs that we used to see every single day for a while.
I'll never forget, I had a client, it was somebody that was talking to me about but being a client, and they came in back in, it was at the end of 99 or beginning of 2000, and they had this stock that they had purchased, and they were thinking of buying more, and I can't remember the name of it. Oh yeah, I do. JDS Uniphase.
Oh yeah.
And they asked me to look, and I actually pulled their balance sheet and pulled the document that a lot of people aren't familiar with. Everybody knows about income statements and balance sheets. There's another one called a cash flow statement.
Yeah.
Of course, that's something you have to learn if you're a CPA. And I looked at it, and there's three sections of a cash flow statement. And what basically it does is it tells you where your cash either comes from or where it's going. And there's three sections, investing, financing, and
operations.
And so I almost did a Rick Perry there. I almost forgot the third thing. So I looked at their cash flow statement. Well, their operations, it was all losses. They're operating at a loss. Their financing was they just didn't have the numbers. And what was the other one?
Investing.
The investing was negative. So they're getting all their money from issuing
IPO
new shares. So it was air. Yeah. People were buying air. And that's all it was. It was all coming from people buying new stock. It was new stock being issued. And I told the guy, I said, look, let me tell you what this means in English. They're issuing stock. That's where the cash is coming from them to operate. They're losing their shirt.
But it was a new economy. That's what everybody said. It's a new economy.
It's different this time.
That's right. And it was different that time because, man, things crashed hard. But, you know, just to give you a little bit more insight into the difference now, 43 of the top 100 NASDAQ stocks pay a dividend. Microsoft, Cisco pay a dividend. JDSU, can you imagine them trying to pay a dividend?
No. I mean, are they even in business anymore? They're like hanging out.
And, you know, they were one of the more solid ones of the time. I mean, more so than the globe.com and, you know, all that. Remember, webvan.com.
Oh, yeah.
All that nonsense. So the NASDAQ is much, much, much different now. And I think it reaching 3,000 this time is significantly more meaningful than it was 12 years ago.
We only got about a minute left, right, Lisa? Less than that. Let me cap this, okay? All this stuff, you go, you know, this is just crazy stuff to deal with. And I want you to pull it back to the basics. You got to have cash. You got to take care for emergencies. You got to have health insurance and or long-term care insurance if you're retired. You got to get a handle on your debt. Pay off the highest debt interest first and work it through. Take money, allocate it to give you income, whatever that may be appropriate to be for your situation. And after you've done all that, then you invest in the stock market for growth. That's the way to do it. Any disagreement on that, Scott?
Nope.
Absolutely.
Know your risk tolerance.
Know your risk tolerance. Know what you're comfortable with. And know how much time you got left, Lisa. Are we out of time? Okay. All right. Let's take a quick break. Come back. We'll wrap it up.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
All right, we're back. Hey, I got to ask you something, Scott, before I let you go. Okay. So, and I know people are dying to hear our update on Greece. So Greece gets their whole, where is it? I got a stack of stuff for you. Greece gets their whole thing all figured out. And so they've got these new bonds, and the new bonds are starting to get traded.
Nobody wants the new bonds.
And nobody wants them. And they're already getting discounted, right?
Yeah.
So they're getting discounted, the new bonds, because there's this bet or expectation that they're going to default again.
Well, they have huge elections coming up. Really no more than 30 days or so from now. So this whole deal that we've gone through for the last 8 months to try to put together could all come undone depending on how the elections go. So the nervousness around the elections is really what has crushed any appetite for the new bonds.
I went through and I read this whole article on Greece, and I highlighted all this stuff. And here's, it's so interesting. Listen to this. First of all, the contracts, the swaps, all the insurance kicked in now.
Yeah.
And that's all, like $3 billion right. Got to be paid for insurance.
Which was a lot less than people thought.
A lot less, but still $3 billion. And the other thing that was really remarkable is that they looked at these bonds and all this fuss for Greece was they had this big debt payment coming up on March 20th. So it got all wrapped, but they didn't have to make the payment. It got wrapped up into this other package.
Right, in the swap.
You want to know when they got to make a payment on this, the bond they were supposed to pay on March 20th? 2023.
Yeah.
It got pushed 10 years off. I'd like to be able to do that. You know, give a call to the credit card company. Say, I just want to let you know that I'm going to voluntarily default.
Yeah.
And I'm going to wrap your debt payment up into a payment I'll make 10 years from now.
Right.
Okay?
So I'm going to pay you quite a bit less with money that's worth quite a bit less.
Right.
And it's going to be quite a bit away from now.
And you're going to smile and take it.
That's right.
And we're all going to sit around and we're going to, have some high tea or whatever they do over in these European Union meetings. But I thought that was pretty remarkable. Now, next up, Spain.
Yep.
Spain, a similar thing with elections and all of that. They're also in a little bit of a world of hurt about what they were supposed to do with their austerity. It's not there. And then after that, Portugal.
Yeah.
So we've got a series of these things. This stuff is rough.
Yeah, and Italy and Ireland are still in there, but Italy and Ireland are implementing their austerity, and it's making a big difference for them.
So be lean, be mean, and have the green.
All right.
Okay, well, that's all the green we have for you today. Come back.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.